Church. As you can see, I wasn't able to join in person today, but it is great to still be able to share the word with you. It feels like it's been such a long time, but by God's grace, we're here, still able to join together, whether in person or online, and I'm truly thankful for that today. The last 2 weeks, we've been exploring what it is to go deeper. What will it look like for the Kerry movement, or for the Kerry Church family? And this morning, I want to talk about how that may look for each of us in this season. And first up, I want to propose to you that there is a difference between getting deeper and going deeper. There's a difference between getting deeper and going deeper. And so what do I mean by that? Well, I believe that one is passive and the other is intentional. And while this analogy has its limits, just come with me for a minute and hopefully you'll see the point I'm trying to make. So I think there are many examples in our lives that show the difference between getting deeper and going deeper. So my first example, how many of you know that you don't have to be too intentional about getting deeper into debt? Now maybe you've experienced that firsthand, maybe you know people who are up to their eyeballs in debt. They are up a certain creek without a paddle, if you know what I'm saying. I'm sure you know that if you are not intentional about managing your finances well, then it seems that you can very easily get into debt. And if you continue to be poor at managing your finances, you will continue to get deeper into debt. Now, some trains of thought will say that some types of debt are considered good debt, but that aside, according to finder.com, Australia is now reported to have some of the highest personal debt levels in the world, while many other developed countries have seen a decline or a leveling out of personal debt since the 2008 global financial crisis. It says Australia's debt levels have continued to increase. We are getting deeper into debt. And I'm sure you are aware of the strain and stress and damage that getting deeper into debt can cause. Other things people get deeper into is the deep waters of despair or depression or anxiety. Now you may be able to relate to some of these passages shared by King David, who has gotten so deep in despair due to life circumstances that he feels like he is drowning. Psalms 69:1-3, he says, "Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water and the floods overwhelm me. I am exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me." He continues along the same lines in verses 13-15. He says, "But I keep praying to you, Lord, hoping this time you will show me favor. In your unfailing love, O God, answer my prayer with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mud. Don't let me sink any deeper. Save me from those who hate me and pull me from these deep waters. Don't let the floods overwhelm me or the deep waters swallow me or the pit of death devour me." Now, I'm confident that there are people listening today who will be able to relate to what King David is describing here. Maybe not right now for you, but there either has been or no doubt will be some time in your life when you are in so deep into whatever hard circumstance life has thrown at you. It might not even be just one thing. It might be an accumulation of many things over time. And you just feel in over your head and you feel like you are drowning. You are exhausted from crying for help. Your eyes are swollen from weeping. Now, who knows what I'm talking about this morning? You know, like, you know when life is just so tough, you're not getting enough sleep, there's pressure from all angles, you're so concerned about loved ones, there is constant uncertainty in life that you can't even make plans for the afternoon and be confident that they will come to pass. I get it. My week has been crazy like this. King David got it. And it's not an intentional decision, but maybe you are getting deeper into depression, getting deeper into despair, getting deeper into anxiety, getting deeper into fear because seasons of life can be so tough. Now, the Bible gives us other examples of getting deeper. The Apostle Paul suggests that we can also get deeper into sin. Now, Romans 6:19 says, "Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy." So that is, if you are not intentional about living right, you are just passively allowing the world to take you wherever the wind blows, you will get deeper into sin because of our humanness. And when we are getting deeper into sin, Proverbs tells us that we wander into deeper deception. Now Proverbs 2:6-15 says, "When wisdom wins your heart and revelation breaks in, true pleasure enters your soul. If you choose to follow good counsel, divine design will watch over you and understanding will protect you from making poor choices. It will rescue you from evil in disguise and from those who speak duplicities. But they, that is wicked people, have left the paths of righteousness and walk in the ways of darkness. They take pleasure when evil prospers and thoroughly enjoy a lifestyle of sin. They are walking on a path to nowhere, wandering away into deeper deception." And then Proverbs 21:7 says, "Violent rebels don't have a chance, for their rejection of truth and their love of evil will drag them deeper into darkness." Whew. Wandering into deeper deception, getting dragged deeper into darkness. Hardly sounds intentional, does it? It seems that if you don't choose to do the right thing, that is, you choose to follow good counsel or you choose right living, then by default, unintentionally, you will get yourself deeper into these things. Now, rarely do people intentionally choose to be people who are getting deeper into debt, getting deeper into depression, getting led deeper into sin, wandering deeper into deception, or getting dragged deeper into darkness. These are situations that I don't believe we want to find ourselves in, do we? Anyone fancy getting dragged into darkness? Yet, if we are not intentional about going deeper, then this is where we can find ourselves. Now, what do I mean when I say going deeper? Well, Scripture shows us things we can and should go deeper in. Unlike getting deeper, where it just kind of happens over time, little by little, without any real effort, often getting deeper into things we don't want. Going deeper takes intention. It takes effort. It's a choice. And when we choose to go deeper in these things, then Scripture says there are great benefits. So in Scripture, we can see that we can go deeper into the path of godliness, 2 Timothy 3:16. We can do that by allowing God's word to instruct and correct us. It will give us the strength to make the right decisions, leading us deeper into the path of godliness. Acts 13:43 says we can go deeper in the understanding of God's grace. Romans 6:22-23 says we can go deeper into the experience of true holiness that ends with eternal life. Ephesians 4:15 says we can go deeper into him, that's Jesus, the anointed head of the body, of his body, the church. We can be filled with all the deeper joy, 2 Corinthians 7:13. And we can go deeper in the peace of God, Philippians 4:7. Don't they sound like better options? You know, going deeper into godliness, holiness, God's grace, joy, the peace of God. It's so good. And we are also told, encouraged actually, to go deeper in our faith. Now Acts 14:22 says that. But here is the catch. To go deeper into any of these things just mentioned, there needs to be intentionality. Like any good thing in life, it doesn't just happen. You need to be intentional. For example, as you know, I broke my ankle in October last year. I broke it in 3 places and dislocated it. Now, I didn't try to break it or dislocate it. It was very unintentional. But to get my ankle back in place, the doctor had to be very intentional in putting it back. I also didn't intentionally try to make my calf muscle waste away during the bone healing process. But by golly, I've had to be super intentional to try to build that back up. If I'm not intentional about exercising it specifically, it will never return to its former glory. And guess what? That isn't easy to do. Doing stupid calf raises and calf extensions is boring and it's hard work, but it brings about a good outcome. And I know even though you've heard this before, you are not going to want to hear this today, but it is often through the hard things that we grow and we go deeper. And we read that to go deeper in faith, Acts 14:22 says, at each place they went, that's Paul and Barnabas, they strengthened the lives of the believers and encouraged them to go deeper in their faith. And they taught them, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas were encouraging the believers to go deeper in their faith. But to do that, it is often through trials, persecutions, hardships. It's living through the crap that life throws at us. Sickness, COVID, cancer, loss of job, financial hardship, relationship strains. The list goes on and on and on. That we have the opportunity. It's in those things that we have the opportunity to go deeper in our faith and deeper in the things of God, as well as experience more deeply the things of God, like his peace and joy. And again, no one wants to go through the tough stuff, and yet that is what we're told is needed to go deeper. And so I've titled this message, Going Deeper, An Invitation in the Pain. Sounds like fun, hey? Now, I'm going to suggest this morning that actually most of us can endure the hard stuff as long as we can see the purpose of the pain, right? That's why people train for triathlons. Crazy people. That is why crazy people train for triathlons. It's not that they love the pain and the sacrifice. It's because they know the purpose. There is a reason for it. Now, personally, I don't think that purpose is worth it, but each to their own, you know. But one of the saddest things that I hear people say is, I just don't see the purpose. What's the point? You know, it might be in their marriage, it might be in their finances, it might be spiritually when it comes to the church. They'll say, what's the purpose? I just don't see the purpose. I'm exhausted. Why should I keep trying? Why do I try to do what's right when it doesn't seem to make any difference at all? It just doesn't seem to matter. I don't see the purpose. And we say that because we don't like pain. However, I'm going to argue that that's not completely accurate. It's my opinion that people don't hate pain. What they hate is pain without a purpose. People hate pain when there's no reason they see attached to the pain. I believe the truth is that people can endure a lot of pain and hardship if there's a purpose. People pay huge amounts of money to experience pain, as long as there's a purpose, right? People pay money for Botox, tummy tucks, facelifts, piercings, waxing, threading, plastic surgery, etc., etc. They endure that pain without too much complaint because there is a purpose. Women have babies. Okay, the first time we can put that down to being naive and not thinking that the pain will be as bad as they say it will be. But then they go back and they have more, knowing that there will be pain. But it's pain with purpose, and it's totally worth it when you hold that baby in your arms. But I wonder how many of you right now are living in a season that just feels completely uncertain. I think everyone would say this time is not easy, or I don't see a whole lot of good in this. You know, there's a lot of frustration, there's a lot of pain, and a lot of it seems to have no purpose. But I want to suggest that sometimes God's invitation to going deeper comes packaged as pain. And in other words, there's a purpose in your pain. God might be using the pain that we're enduring to do something in us, an invitation to go deeper into the path of godliness, to go deeper in the understanding of God's grace, to go deeper into the experience of true holiness that ends with eternal life, go deeper in the peace of God or deeper in our faith. There is a purpose in your pain. I also think you might be using the pain that we're enduring to do something in us before he does something through us. Now let me unpack that. Luke 5:1-10, it's a familiar recount of events. We watched this unfold in episode 4 of The Chosen a few weeks back. And it says, One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "O Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Now Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." Such a powerful encounter. And did you see what happened there? Simon had been out all night and caught nothing. Now for a fisherman who relies on catching fish to make a living and to feed his family, this is pretty devastating. This is enough to cause despair. It's enough to start questioning the goodness of God. You know, "God, I'm working hard, doing everything I can, and yet nothing." These are hard times. These are times of uncertainty. Have you ever experienced that? You know, you're working hard, doing everything you can to turn a situation around, to provide what is needed. But no matter what you do or how hard you work, nothing seems to change. You don't know how it's going to be fixed, when it's going to end. And then just when Simon starts to give up, he comes back into the shore. Along comes Jesus, who tells him to go back out to where it is deeper. Sometimes God's invitation to go deeper comes packaged as pain, and sometimes God uses that pain that we're enduring to do something in us before he does something through us. Now, Simon's first opportunity in this tough situation is to go deeper in his trust in Jesus. He thought Jesus was crazy. You know, go back into the waters that you were just in and caught nothing. Now go deeper. Like, he had to first trust Jesus, which surprisingly he did. Now, I don't think you know what you're doing, Jesus, but I'll trust you and I'll go back out. And by trusting Jesus in that circumstance, Simon experienced a miracle. If he didn't go deeper, he wouldn't have experienced the miracle. And I just wonder, what situation, what pain are you experiencing where you can't see a way out, but God is inviting you to trust him? He is calling you deeper, out into the deep waters, and you need to stop looking at the physical and trust Jesus in the spiritual. What miracle might be waiting on the other side? I believe our God is the God of miracles. I believe that our God is a God of breakthrough. What is he inviting you deeper into? The second thing I see in this encounter is that through trusting Jesus and going deeper, not only did Simon experience a miracle, but he also felt the weight of his sinfulness. And because of that, I believe that Simon would have gone deeper in his understanding of God's grace. Now we read, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "O Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." Who knows that sometimes our pain can be caused by our sinfulness? Now who knows that sometimes through no fault of our own, we can experience pain and hardship? Yeah, both of those are true. Now I don't know if Simon was in this situation because of his sinfulness, but I want to suggest that I don't think Simon could control if there were fish in the water or not, and yet he finds himself in this painful situation. But what I do know is that sometimes when we are going through hard times, when the world is hard, when we experience pain, we become more aware of our sinfulness. I believe when things aren't going well for us, we are in a position to see our sinfulness more than when life is going well. And when we realize the weight of our sin, we can't help but fall to our knees before God, to cry out to God in our brokenness and allow his Holy Spirit to minister to us. And we find ourselves going deeper in the understanding of God's grace because we know that we need it so much. I believe that this can also be the start of going deeper into the path of godliness and righteousness as we have opportunity to repent and make conscious choices to live differently. The third thing I see in these passages is that even though Simon chose to trust Jesus and he accepted the invitation to go deeper and he experienced the miracle, he had a revelation of who Jesus was. Even after all that, Simon was still fearful. He trusted Jesus, but I don't think he trusted himself. I'm a sinful man. But Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." There was purpose in the pain, in the fear. And Jesus was calling Simon into his life purpose. It wasn't for nothing. It was very likely that Simon felt insecure. "I'm such a failure. I have one job, to catch fish, and I can't even do that. I have anger, anxiety, frustration, fear, worry." But there was a purpose. There was a reason. Now, sometimes God's invitation to go deeper comes packaged as pain. And it's so easy to look at life from a perspective of pain. It's easy to look at all the things you don't have or all the things you have lost. But if rather than looking at life from a perspective of pain, we choose to see the pain through a perspective of purpose, you know, that is to realize that God may be doing something in you before he does something through you. You may see that the difficult thing that you're going through right now is not without purpose. God may have allowed it to strengthen you in a way that only this pain could strengthen you, to take you deeper than you were able to go without it. Now, here is something I saw on Facebook that resonated with me as I prepared this message. It says, "If you focus on the hurt, you will continue to suffer. If you focus on the lesson, you will continue to grow." Obviously, it is wise to not ignore the hurt, and actually processing that sometimes with a professional is very needed and absolutely the right thing to do. But if we focus on the pain and never do anything with it, we will continue to suffer. But if you recognize that there is a lesson here, there is a purpose, there is an opportunity to go deeper with God, then you will grow. I love what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:28, one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, with good reason. He says, "We know that in all things," now that means in the promotion or in the layoff. It means in the blessing of the relationship or in the breakup. That means when you make great decisions and you're proud of them, or you make the decisions that you regret. "We know that in all things, our good God works for the good of those who love him." Now watch this. "Who have been called according to his purpose." Now we can choose to change the perspective of which we look at life and see God's hand and purpose even working in the middle of the pain. In James's writing, he says, "Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Why? Because there's a purpose. There's a purpose in your pain. James said, "Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance." There's a reason. There's a purpose. And James says, "Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Because sometimes God's invitation to go deeper comes packaged as pain. Now, if we go back to Simon, we know that as we continue to follow his journey, he experienced many more times of hardship. He experienced failure on so many occasions, and each time God used it to take him deeper, even to the point where on the day of Pentecost, Simon, also called Peter, he gave the sermon to repent of your sins because he knew what it meant to realize he was sinful and fall on his knees before Jesus in this moment of hardship and to be forgiven of sins. And on that day, 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ and became disciples on that day because God was doing something in the middle of the pain. There was purpose and an invitation to go deeper. And God might be using the pain that you're enduring to do something in you before he does something through you. Now, you may not always see it, But by faith, I invite you to choose to believe it. Ask God to give you eyes to see the purpose in the middle of your pain. I want to tell you today that there is good news. Now, what I have found walking with Jesus for nearly 3 decades is that if you look at life in any one snapshot, one moment, one day, it can be easy to be disillusioned, to feel like God's not using that. You know, where is He? This isn't fair. There's no purpose. What's the reason? I don't see a purpose. If you look at life in any single snapshot, it's so easy to miss what God might be doing. But what I found is, if you look at life over any extended period of time, you look over a 5-year period and then glance back to that snapshot of pain, you can say, oh, there it is. You know, now I see how God used it. I didn't see it at the time. You know, I would never wish it on anybody. I wouldn't want to go through it again, but I'm so glad because of what God did in me. There was a purpose in the middle of that pain. God took me deeper than I would have been able to go if I didn't experience that. And so I invite you to join with me by faith to not look at life from a lens perspective of pain. Instead, let's believe that there is God's purpose. He may not have caused the trouble that you're in, but He is using it to take His children deeper. He is great at using it to take His children deeper. Now, what will it be for you? I don't know. You know, I don't know what it will be for you. Some of you right now, you've lost jobs. You feel like you've lost hope. You have no idea. You know, you may be feeling angry or frustrated or just worn out and afraid. You know, how might God use it in your life? Maybe He will take you deeper into the path of godliness, to go deeper in the understanding of God's grace, to go deeper into the experience of true holiness that ends with eternal life, go deeper in the peace of God or deeper in our faith. Maybe He will even use it to show you deeper joy. There is a purpose in your pain. And now, I don't want to minimize what anyone is going through today. It is just hard sometimes. But I invite you to look to see where God is at work. Our God is working in all things to bring about good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. What's the purpose for this season? You might not know right now, but God is faithful and He is good. And one day in the future, when you look back and you can see what the purpose was, would you strengthen your brothers and sisters? Make a difference. Declare the goodness of God. Declare His faithfulness. Give Him glory in all that you do. Let His goodness be evident to all who meet you. Because without God, there's always a reason. There is a purpose. Maybe this season of pain is an invitation to go deeper, to prepare you for what is to come. Let's pray. Father, today, for those who are hurting, we ask that the power of your Spirit would do what only you can do. God, give them endurance. May we consider it pure joy when we face these trials, knowing you're doing something in us to develop us, to prepare us for the purpose that you have ahead. Now, today, as you're reflecting, those of you who would say, I want to trust God for His purposes, you can just lift your hand. Just do that. If you're at home, you can lift up your hand in your bedroom, in your living room. You can just type it in the chat. Just write, I'm trusting God. You know, if I may not see it right now, but by faith I believe it. I'm trusting God. If that's you, just declare that by raising your hand this morning. Now, Father, according to your word, we trust in you with all of our hearts, leaning not on our own understanding, God, but in all of our ways, acknowledging you. God, for those who feel like there's not a point, it's not worth it, I pray, Lord, that the power of your Spirit would comfort them, knowing that you will use all things to bring about good. God, give us eyes to see your purpose, that we could go deeper with you, to fulfill your plan and give you glory in all that we do. Help us to trust. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, Amen.